I loved hearing about the Philippines. It just makes my heart beat fast. I loved seeing all the photos. We love the Philippines. And it was a great privilege to serve there for that period of time. A couple of weeks ago, Andrew contacted me and said, "Oh, mate, would you share on prayer and fasting?" I think the speaker arranged wasn't going to speak or something. Well, I had already been working through a struggle in my own heart and experience with the lack of prayer. It's not that I didn't pray, but I wasn't allocating significant periods of time in my life to prayer. And that's a real struggle for me, because way back when I was a young Christian, some very faithful Christians had impressed on my heart the importance of prayer and the privilege that it is to pray, and the privilege it is to come before a holy God, a mighty God, an awesome God, as a humble, saved, blood-bought child of God, and talk to him like a child talks to their father. Can you imagine I think we all could. It's heartbreaking for a parent when the child won't speak, when they almost live their lives as though you don't exist. And I believe it grieves the heart of God when he's provided everything he can for us to be able to be in contact with him, to pray with him, to fellowship with him, commune with him, basically in a discussion where we're hearing from him and he's speaking to us as we're hearing from him and we're sharing our hearts with him as we pray. So anyway, I said to Andrew, I said when I come to the church, I'm not speaking anymore. That's for young people. But I said, out of respect for Andrew, I said, look, I'll think about it overnight, pray about it, and let you know in 24 hours. Will the Lord convince me? Well, just share what the Lord's been challenging you with. So I'm saying that so if you understand where I'm coming from. As I said, it's been a long time since I've preached. If we could take account, this just to get our minds in sync with where I'm coming from with this message, if we could take account of our losses in spiritual things as we can in our financial, we would be startled at the losses we are suffering, traceable, I believe, directly back to lack of prayer and dependence on God. You know, if you want to embarrass someone, a Christian, go and ask them about their personal prayer life. Almost every Christian will be embarrassed, and they put on more of a show, and I'm speaking to myself, more of a show than what I am personally in the privacy of a locked away in a room in my house. I have been much prefer to just sit back and watch a program on TV or just do something else except that discipline of getting before God. And yet it's so rewarding when you spend time with the Lord. Samuel, he was handing over the reins to Saul, and he'd just given a big speech where he prayed and rain, and the Lord gave rain and thunder, and the people were afraid. And he said, "You've sinned, you've gone after other things other than after me." But he said, "God will have mercy on you because of his own glory, for his own glory. He has called you out as his people, and you can come back to him." But then Samuel said, and this goes directly to my heart, "Now as for me, Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I think that that sums up what God, the Lord convicts me about prayer. When prayer is not an option. Prayer is something that God has provided for us and intended that we give our lives to Him. It should be a prayer. I would say most of my life, prayer has been a significant thing in my prayer life. I believe in the ministry of prayer. I believe in the ministry of intercession. Twice here in the last month, Kathy's parents said to me, "We've been praying for you for years." David's dad came to me the other day when he was here, and he said, "I wanted to see you." He said, "I've been praying for you every day for years." That makes such a huge difference in my prayer life, in my ministry. But what it does is that they share in my ministry. They're my partners. And if there is any fruit, any reward at all, they share in that. Tori said, "How little time the average Christian spends in prayer. We are too busy to pray, and so we are too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish very little. The power of God is lacking in our lives and in our work. We have not because we ask not." And of course, Jesus says that over and over again. You know, I want to just go back to the beginning of all time. God is a relational God. He has existed for all eternity in relationship with Himself. Perfect relationship, perfect unity within Himself. God is one God, but three persons. And in Genesis 1, you read, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, or after our likeness." Was a perfect world. Adam was created, and then Eve taken out of the man, and they was given tasks to do. Adam named all the animals, and it seems from this, text there in Genesis 3, which I don't want to get to too quickly, but in Genesis 3, that if you look at the whole context, it seems like it was the habit of God to come down and walk and talk with Adam and Eve. There was that fellowship. There was nothing hindering that relationship. It was a sweet relationship. It's a bit like, you know, in marriage, you can have a great marriage where the two become one and you share everything together. You discuss things. But then what happened? In the cool of the evening, breezes were blowing. The man and his wife heard the Lord God walking in the garden. So they hid themselves from the Lord God among the trees. And we know, I should go back to before that, but Adam and Eve chose not to believe God, not to believe what He said, but believe Satan, the tempter, the deceiver, and sinned. And the fellowship was cut. There was no more sweet walking in the garden anymore. Then the Lord God called out to the man, "Where are you?" Of course, they were hidden, hiding, full of shame and fear and guilt. To me, I put myself in that place. Is God coming in the cool of the evening to you and saying, "Ross, where are you? I want to talk with you." "Oh, I'm too busy." Really, it's sin that separates us between us and our God. That's where it all began. There's lots and lots of verses we could share, but in Isaiah we read, it's your sins that have cut you off from your God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. We need to come back, as in 1 John 1:9, in confession of our sin and repentance and restoring. I thank God that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and we can have entrance back into fellowship with him. Revelation, and this one cuts home, and this is talking about the church of Laodicea. I know all the things. I apply this to myself personally. I say, am I lukewarm? Am I just neither hot nor cold? I have the appearance of being a good Christian and doing all the right things, and I'm not into gross sin. But the Lord says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's a horrific statement. Now, I believe in eternal security. I believe if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, your future in heaven is secure. But we can suffer terrible loss because of sin and because we've just lived our lives mediocre. We haven't considered all the claims of Christ on our lives. I've put on my timer here so I know where I'm at, but it's already hasn't worked. So pull me up if I go too long. Jesus and prayer. Jesus was our wonderful example in prayer. I'll go back there for a moment. Prayer was his dominant feature in his life. And in 11, I haven't got this in my notes, but in Luke 11, verse 1, Jesus, it says something like, now, at that time, Jesus was praying and his disciples were watching. But when he had stopped praying, one of his disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach me to pray. And that's it's an amazing thing to me, because why weren't they saying, Lord, teach us how to heal the lame. Lord, teach us how to open the eyes of the blind or walk on the sea. Teach us how to do miracles. Teach us how to cast out demons. But what they said is, Lord, teach us to pray. And I believe that's because it was an awesome thing to observe the Son of God on his knees in prayer. And his whole life said, I am dependent on the Father. This verse says, I tell you the truth, I can do nothing by myself. If the Son of God depended on the Father and said, I can't do anything without him, sure, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit had come down in a dove and rested upon him, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, he relied on the Father for everything he done, for his whole life. Surely we should try, in the strength that God gives us, to do the same. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And we don't believe it. I don't think we really, it sinks in. We can't do anything. Sure, you can't preach without God's enabling. You can't do the songs, you can't do upfront stuff, but you can't do anything. You can't reach your neighbor for Christ. You can't even appear to be godly. You can't do anything without God enabling you. Jesus told us we have to, by faith, trust in him, walk in him. Jesus gave us every possibility, every reason to trust him. He said, the Father is in me, and I am in the Father, and I am in you, or you are in God, the Trinity, in those contexts in his prayer in John 17, shows God Almighty indwells me and wants to live his life out through me. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Now, you're not going to tap into that which is true of you unless you're prepared to spend significant time on your knees in prayer. And then people say, oh, well, I practice the presence of Jesus. You cannot practice the presence of Jesus unless you're also spending significant time with him in prayer. But if you are praying, you will automatically be practicing the presence of Jesus. He will flow, his life will flow through you, and you won't be able to stop it. Stop him, because he wants to be your hands and your feet and your mouth. He wants to live his life as a member of his body in this present day and reach out to him. Now, I've got right off my notes. If the eternal Son of God made prayer such a prominent feature of his life, why do we suppose that we can get by with anything less? If Jesus trusted, had to, like he was slipped away. The general context was that long before daylight, he went out into a desert place and prayed. But at other times, he sent the crowds away and went up into the mountains to pray. That's in the afternoon or evening. Do you think he was tired? I'm certain he was tired. But he was strengthened in prayer. Other times, before the temptation, he prayed all night. That's where that thought comes from. Okay, prayer makes ordinary lives extraordinary. In fact, prayer makes ordinary lives supernatural. And we need to be living supernatural lives, empowered by the Holy Spirit, trusting in God, and doing exceedingly great things in his name. The greeters always do a wonderful job here. And this morning, I think it was Daryl and, whoever it was. It's got nothing to do with what I'm saying. What I'm about to say has nothing to do with whoever was greeting. I wasn't out there to see. But in every ministry of this church, it should be set up side holy unto the Lord. We need to realize if we're greeters on the door, if we're doing the morning tea, if we're whatever we're doing, it should be bathed in prayer. The greeters on the door, they are to be the fragrance of Christ, a sweet aroma. So when you come to the church, you want a hen. Someone to shake your hand, you want to be greeted, but this is far more than a physical place. There needs to be a connection of your spirit filled with the Holy Spirit, with the person coming in, so that they sense Christ just coming into the church, that it's different. And they get a sense that God is in the place. The Shekinah glory is over the top of this church, and he's going to do great things. The morning tea is the same thing. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and in prayer about the people that are meeting out there, that there'll be connections between people. That's the whole purpose of it, that people will connect and make friends. and be friendly. And that the ultimate goal is that we're going to encourage people in their faith, in their walk with the Lord, and challenge those who are not to maybe seek God for it. I just put in one point on intercession. Years ago, when I did have significant times of prayer, I had decided that I'd pray and pray for everyone I could think of and then go to bed. And I decided if God brings to my mind someone during the night, I'd slip out of bed and pray for them. So I tried to make sure I prayed for everyone before I went to bed. But this one night, you know, Robert Peaker came to my mind. I hadn't seen him for years. I knew he was the chief pilot for MAF in New Guinea. And so but I'd never had any contact with him whatsoever, and I got out of bed and prayed for Robert. And there's no peace in my spirit. I just knew, no, that's not it. So I thought, well, okay, Robert's married. I'll pray for Robert, for his wife. So I prayed for his wife, and there's still no peace. It was just this burden in my spirit that I needed to pray. So as I prayed, I thought, well, they've been married quite a while. Maybe they got kids. So I said, Lord, if they got kids, I prayed for all the things that I could think of. And I prayed for, you know, just everything I could think of about kids. And I prayed that if they're sick, the Lord would touch them and heal them. And if they're backslidden, that they would come back to the Lord. And if they're having struggles, and there was peace. So I went to bed. About 3 months later, I met Robert, Robert's wife, not wife, his sister, and didn't often meet her. And I said, oh, how's Robert doing? He said, oh, he's doing great, very busy, flying flat out for MAF. And I said, oh, yeah. And she said, oh, actually, she said, one of his sons was almost died with cerebral malaria. I said, oh, when's that? Was at exactly the same time. And that's what I mean by the ministry of prayer. God, now if I hadn't been in a spirit of prayer, there's no way God could have woke me up and got me out of bed to pray for them. He didn't know anything about it. He never did till he actually killed himself in an accident in New Guinea. He never knew, but the Lord knew. You can be involved in prayer, but you have to choose, make a choice of your will to pray. I've tried to look at things that maybe, like in this message, that I've avoided talking about the Philippines simply because we're not in the Philippines, but you know, I could go on and on and on if I got to the Philippines. Years ago, we were very active, like Jordan and some of the other guys here, was door knocking, street preaching, giving out tracts, whatever. And this one day I was by myself door knocking a street in Redcliffe. And it just was an awful street. It was sort of a depressed street. And every door, the people were angry or just didn't want to have anything to do with me. And it was just knock back after knock back. And I understand that. I understand their attitude, actually. Anyway, I thought, talking to the Lord as I went from house to house, and I thought, that's enough. I've done the street. And I was going to walk away, and the Lord seemed to, just do one more. And so I went to this house, and it was a run-down, ramshackle house, gate with long path, grass everywhere. And so I opened the gate, closed it behind me, and looking for the dog, because that's what happens. And as I got closer to the door, I could hear all this noise, racket, whatever you like to call it, coming from inside. And I thought, oh my goodness, it's young people having a party. and I almost wanted to turn around and leave. I run. Anyway, I called out because they couldn't hear any knocking, and this young guy came out. And I said, told him what we wanted, and he said, "Oh, mate, I'm not interested." And he turned around to go back inside, and then he said, "Oh, there might be someone here that is interested. Just hold on a minute." So he went in, and I thought, "Oh, this is a setup. They're going to just come out and really give me curry." In a little while, this young girl in her 20s come out, and I told her, and I said, "I'm just going through this little booklet, knowing God personally. I'd just like to share it with you." And she said, "Oh, yeah." And I was sort of still thinking, this is, they're going to all burst in or something. Anyway, I went through it, and at the end, she prayed to receive Christ as her Savior. And she seemed to me to be very genuine. I arranged to go back in 3 days, time to follow up, just see how she's doing. I went back in 3 days, and I done the same thing. Guy come out, and I said who I was looking for, and he said, "Oh, mate, haven't you heard? She was killed in a car accident 2 days ago. She had 1 day to live." Prayer makes a difference. Prayer can put you in the position to be effective. You become the feet for your prayers, if you like. You know, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking to earlier about the people that I talked with here this morning. Maybe there's someone in that same situation. We don't know the time of or the day or the hour that God's going to say, "It's your time. It's your time to go." This may be your last church service. It happens all the time. It may be your last church service, and I implore you, if you don't know this God that I'm talking about, you don't have a personal relationship with Him, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. See someone today and find out how to know God as your own personal Savior and Redeemer. Okay, I'll move on this. I'm trying to think a little bit outside the box with this because I think we, in our prayers, you know, we say, "Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, relying on the Holy Spirit, we come in prayer," and we sort of begin to think that in His name is, or in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, is just like a format or a whatever. I just want to look at that for one moment. Whatever you ask, this is Jesus speaking. "Whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. He will give it to you. Before now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Okay, you look at Strong's Concordance or ones like that, and they'll just say that "in His name" means "by His authority" or something of that nature. If you dig a little deeper, I looked at Kenneth Weiss, who I really love his comments, his Greek word studies. I'm putting the whole thing up here because I want you to read it. The power, this is what Kenneth Weiss says about "in His name." What's the depth of the meaning in that context, in that culture, is the power of attorney, which is the legal and written authority to transact business for another. One may be a general agent a special agent who is authorized to do some specific work or to do some special business. The agent can act with all authority within the bounds of the legal authorization as much as the one who gave him the authority. This comes down to the truth that it's no longer I, but Christ living in me. He wants to live His life through me, but it's that hindrance of the flesh and the soul my personality, my body language, all the rest of it. Christ lives in my spirit. He wants to live his life through you, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, representing Christ, we can do those things. This story will maybe turn some of you against me, I don't know. Years ago, we never chose it, never looked for it or anything else, but God just kept, we helped one person with a demonic problem. It was a young believer who was, he was not possessed, he was oppressed in that, I'll have to tell you the story now. We had a we had a dairy farm, and this young guy, he was a youth group leader in a large assembly in Brisbane, and he was working for us as a dairy hand. And we had him at our place one night for supper, and it was a mountain farm up on Mount Meehan, so it was quite cold like here at night time. But he was living in a caravan because we had no house for him there. We said, oh, look, you just stay here overnight. You stay in our house. He said, oh, no way I can stay in your house. And we kept saying, that's crazy, stay in our house. In the end, he said, look, I haven't told anyone, but he said, every night demons come and they grab me and I levitate off the bed. And he said, I look all around. He said, I plead to God and nothing happens. And then eventually after they put me down, he said, I've got these red welts all over my body. And then the next day he looks like any other Christian, but he's got this personal deep struggle in his life. And I was, Lee and I were just flabbergasted. We thought, how is that? And we said, that's not possible. There must be something that you're doing that is allowing Satan the opportunity to afflict you or oppress you like that. I said, if we pray and ask God to show us what it is, will you deal with it? He said, yes, anything. I'd do anything to be free from this. So we prayed. And after, I said, it was just simple, short prayer. After, I said, well, did God say anything? He said, no, not really. And he said, well, and I kept questioning. He said, well, I did think about my particular rock band that I'm a fan of. And I said, well, why would you think about that? Well, we was praying, asking God to bring to your mind what is the problem? Now, I'm not talking against rock music, but what happened? This guy had made this particular band his idol. He had every CD that was produced, he just lived in his home, this band. It could be anything, but it was an idol. And I said, well, look, are you prepared to get rid of it? Just burn it. And he said, yeah. I said, I'm ready. He said, Mum's going to be really upset with me. He's only a young guy in his late teens. I said, well, are you prepared to tell God that you're going to renounce that and just destroy them? It was no big deal or anything else. He said, yes, I will. So he did. And that next morning he came and he said, I had the most peaceful, wonderful sleep I've had for years. He said, and that went on. He kept working for us and he was just a different man simply. But God showed us through prayer. So anyway, that's the story, getting to the story. And this, I'll keep it brief. That led on to others then. He told people and we sort of led into a counselling ministry that was almost full-time. I had full-time work, but this was extra full-time, in counselling people that had been involved in the occult. And one time I got this phone call from Evelyn Free. She was the wife of Child Evangelism Fellowship group. He was a full-time evangelist. And Evelyn called. We'd never met her. And she said, I've got this lady that's trying to get out of witchcraft. I want to come and see you. Bring her to you. So I said, oh, okay. So we arranged a night. And that night came and it was upstairs. We had a upstairs, downstairs house. Heard the doorbell and went down, opened the door and met Evelyn. I looked at the lady. She was in her probably late 20s. And she was absolutely terrified. It was just fear personified. And I said, oh, come on in. Close the door. And I wanted to console her and just settle her down. And I said, look, I'm just going to talk to you about Jesus. Well, she dropped like a rock. Just didn't know that way or that way or that way, but just all life, it seemed, went out of her. And Evelyn was a registered nurse still practicing. She dropped down beside her and she says, she's not breathing. And then she said, there's no pulse. And I recognized it as the work of Satan, because he takes people captive at his will to do his will, and he's the God of this world who blinds the eyes and stops the ears of those who believe not. And I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, leave her alone. And then Evelyn, a little silence, and then Evelyn said, I've got a pulse. She's breathing. She got up, and so we went on into the house. I won't tell you the rest of the story. She was married to a Chinese triad person that the coven had married her into. She was in deep, 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 and Satan was doing all in his power to hold her in his grip. And I don't believe for 1 minute she was dead. She was not dead. It was because the deceiver was trying to deceive and get us to call 111 or 000, whatever it is. Every country's different, 999. Anyway, you know, if we'd done that, there would be that diversion. She never would have went any further. That's how Satan works. He's a deceiver and a liar and a killer and a murderer. He has been from the beginning. Anyway, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a powerful statement to make, and don't feel embarrassed to use it in prayer, because you're talking to Almighty God, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as though Jesus himself is coming to God in prayer. He listens and he answers, and you will see numerous answers to prayer if you're prepared to spend significant time in prayer. And just to back up what I'm talking about, look at all the way through Scripture, you see the same sort of thing. Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:19 saying, it just talked about us becoming new creatures in Christ Jesus, and says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave to us this wonderful message of reconciliation. And then he goes on to say this, for we are Christ's ambassadors or representatives. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ, or we speak on Christ's behalf, some translations say, when we plead, come back to God. In his name, this, it's, again, a repeat is Christ living his life through us. Now, if you remember that little thing, and I'm almost done, that little statement from Kenneth Wiest, he said that there was, the authority has boundaries, and the boundary is God's will. Jesus said the same thing, his will. It's not, we can just ask, Lord, I'd like to go on a cruise, or I'd like this or that. No, it's about his business. Jesus, when he was teaching, said, thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. It's about his kingdom, his kingdom business. That's what we're praying about. And the verse, you already read it, I'm sure. And we are confident that he hears us when we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us, when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Do you believe that? If you come to him confidently believing God hears me because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of the finished work of Calvary, and you ask for anything, God hears you and will answer. What about praying for your neighbors up the street? What about the people next door? Maybe you don't even know them. The first step is go out and find out who they are, but be praying for them. This week, I was praying for our village, for people in the village, and I was praying for a lady up the street. She has been extremely closed to anything. And the Lord said, go and talk to her. Go and visit her. And I felt rather embarrassed, and I just, okay. So I went up, and the door was wide open. She wanted to talk. She wanted someone to just come, and we've arranged this coming week to take her out for lunch. But it comes through prayer. You're going to be ineffective in reaching your neighbours or your guys you work with or whatever unless you're before the Lord in prayer. Last one. This has challenged me, and this was one of the first things that challenged me donkeys ages ago. Ezekiel. The whole country was a mess, or the city was a mess. There was sin in high places. There was sin in the government. There was sin in the justice system. The magistrates were corrupt. The religious leaders were corrupt. It was terrible. And God said, I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness. It's a picture of a wall around a city that's crumbled down. That guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap or to stand in the breach before me. So I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found none. Now that's talking about prayer. Someone standing before the Lord in prayer on behalf of a nation that's going down the drain. And God's looking for people that will pray. I want to ask you, are you willing to stand?